I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We Americans may sometimes come off as a little direct and urgent in our counsel. This is why President Trump demands seriousness and reciprocity from our friends here in Europe. The reason why, my friends, is because we care deeply. We do not want allies to rationalize the broken status quo rather than reckon with what is necessary to fix it. For we in America have no interest in being polite and orderly caretakers of the West's managed decline. We do not seek to separate, but to revitalize an old friendship and renew the greatest civilization in human history.
That's a very powerful and direct, candid statement from our Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, delivered in Munich yesterday as a gathering of the European allies, making it clear that we might sometimes come off a little brusque, but while we want to be your friends, we're not going to come in beginning with an apology, as Barack Obama began his term, going to all these nations and everything and apologizing for everything the U.S. has done wrong. Rubio's not saying we've done everything right, but at this time and space, we need to make it clear there are clear delineations. He's talking on several planes. He's talking about the mass migration that Europe has allowed, and of course, then we in turn allowed through Joe Biden's open borders. Thank you, Joe Biden. And even Hillary Clinton yesterday, appearing at the same summit, stated mass migration has been a mess. I've been running a commentary all day on that. My commentary is run at three times each day. In case you miss one, you can catch the other, hopefully. They begin at 7:30 in the Jamie Allman Hour in the first 15 minutes or less. And then in the Tony Colombo Show at 3:30. But her words about mass migration being detrimental, not just to the U.S., but to Europe, and the European leaders recognize that. That is one plane of existence and discussion Rubio was laying out. The other is world security, and that involves Iran. And we all need to be on the same page when it comes to dealing with Iran. Again, he's talking to European leaders in Germany. Russia, China, North Korea, Cuba, not represented, Argentina, so forth. But he's talking about what you have built, and we have helped you build and secure in Europe. And specifically, Germany, Britain, Poland, France, Italy. You would think they would be fully wide awake, but they have in their midst, the same as we do, naysayers and those who want to dispute and argue history when they don't even know history. Welcome on aboard to hour number one, Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. for you. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program, very easy to do so. You go to Newstalk STL Rumble right now, or Larry Connors USA Rumble. And everything goes up later as a podcast at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. Excuse me, I'm still battling this sore throat, but we're going to get it through. We're not going to let it put us down. And I'll remind you, with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and an education. You will leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right now. In our second hour, a very interesting guest for you. And many of you will know him. Many of you probably listen to him. Started part of his radio career here in St. Louis. Now it's nationally syndicated. Coast to coast, George Noory. Now I want to ask him what his thoughts were about Obama yesterday admitting, now there are UFOs, I'm pretty convinced there are. But I haven't really seen any aliens. By that he means space aliens. But the very fact that he acknowledged that and the position he had to know more information than you have and even George Noory has, that'll be coming up in our second hour. And later this hour, back to Dr. Fake. Still, of course, defending science he found in COVID. And anyone who disputed him, you're arguing against science, not me. And the damage he caused to our nation for decades to come. Our story behind the story this hour. The CIA and others trying to assassinate Fidel Castro. The story behind the story. Before we complete this hour. Going back to Rubio yesterday, our Secretary of State in Munich making it very clear, we might come off as brusque, a little difficult, but we know what we stand for is right. We're not going to budge. And that includes dealing with Iran. General Jack King.
The part of the speech that I really loved was when Rubio identifies the failed strategies that the United States has had and how we're going after them and wants to join with Europe in working on these common problems ourselves. And what are we talking about? Mass migration, open borders, failed climate and energy strategies, the reality that we surrendered and we relied far too much on multinational organizations like the UN, the World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization, and the list goes on. Didn't solve a lot of problems for any of us. And then finally, it's an admission that we have to recover our defense capabilities and conduct a buildup to return to the kind of deterrence policies that we've had in the past. The Europeans have the same problems. Yes, shared culture, shared values, but common problems and challenges too. And I think the Europeans will positively respond to this because they see these problems and they know they have to get after it.
Have to get after them. I want you to hear in the next hour, but I'll tell you what she says right now. Republican Alabama Senator Katie Britt saying, it's kind of rich. Kind of rich to watch the leftists go flying off to Germany and advise them how to secure their borders and protect their nation. It's more than rich. It's more than ironic. It proves you can't fix stupid. That's coming up later as well. Back to Secretary of State Rubio. Talking about what we're going to be doing in this nation, and that is, we know what the intent of radical Islam is, and we will not forget it.
Islamic movements in the world identify the West writ large, but the United States in particular, as the greatest evil on the earth. And every chance to have the notion that somehow radical Islam would be comfortable with simply controlling some province in Iraq or Syria is just not borne out by history. Radical Islam has shown that their desire is not simply to occupy one part of the world and be happy with their own little caliphate. They want to expand. It's revolutionary in its nature. It seeks to expand and control more territories and more people. And radical Islam has designs openly on the West, on the United States, on Europe. We've seen that progress there as well. And they are prepared to conduct acts of terrorism, assassinations, murders, you name it, whatever it takes for them to gain their influence and ultimately their domination of different cultures and societies, but especially to the United States, who they identify as the chief source of evil on the planet.
Secretary Rubio also stressed that the Trump administration is open to negotiations, but we're not going to take our foot off the pressure on Iran and its nuclear ambitions. Many are looking at all this and saying striking a good nuclear agreement with Tehran is historically difficult to impossible. And Trump did declare last Friday a regime change would be the best thing, and we have additional U.S. forces in that region. But then inside our nation, how many came in with a visa? I mean, we let them in with a visa. They didn't come in illegally, but we let them in with a visa. Rubio's watching some of their rhetoric and their actions.
Look, my job at the State Department is if I identify someone who I believe is present, someone who's not, who's a visitor, a guest to the United States, and we identify that their presence in our country poses a threat to our foreign policy, to our national security, we're gonna take that person's visa away. We're going to take their visa away. That's what we're going to do.
You're going to take the visa away? That means you're out of here. Charlie Kirk at one time had described the difference between a Democrat and a leftist. And his remarks bear repeating with what we're seeing happen now. Watch how they've been dancing away from solutions to fund our government. Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen.
As far as having, a photo ID exposed, absolutely not. Why? It's because the Democrats we've seen has been doxing them. They went into their place of worship where they thought they might be at. They went into their hotels. They went into their restaurants. What are you going to do? Expose their faces so you can intimidate their families? What we want is ICE to be able to do their job, and we would love for local law enforcement and for states to cooperate with us. But if we want to have a serious conversation, you bet. Let's sit down and have a conversation. Out where we can make it where the laws that Congress passed, the ICE agents can enforce and do it in a safe manner and make sure our streets are safer. But what has happened is they haven't negotiated in good faith.
That's the bottom line. They are not negotiating in good faith. You know what their idea of a compromise is. And when they're talking about a compromise, it's another clear example of their lack of good faith. The compromise would be if we're standing apart, I'll come a step closer to you, you come a step closer to me. I'll put down this hammer, you put down your hammer. And you begin to slowly de-escalate. And their position is, you come 4 or 5 steps toward me, and I'll retreat 20 steps. They're always going to be moving the goal line because they do not want to have a resolution. And here's what they are probably targeting. And I think Senator Mark Wayne Mullen is correct on this remark.
When they wanted to do this 2-week CR, we asked for 6 weeks. They asked for 2 weeks. We said, okay, it took them 10 days before they gave us a counteroffer. The White House returned an offer in 48 hours. It took them another 2 days to respond. And then when we asked, okay, listen, we're going to go into shutdown. Let's have 2 more weeks of a clean CR because it took you guys 10 days to give us just a counteroffer. What they said is, no, we're not doing it. And that's when I started saying this isn't about actually opening DHS back. This is about waiting until the president is done giving the State of the Union, which is a week from Tuesday, which is why I said this is nothing but political theater, because what they're saying they can't even do. They're saying they're trying to keep ICE from doing their job. Mm-hmm. And as you admitted earlier, and because it's true, ICE and the Border Patrol is funded through the one big beautiful bill up until 2028. And so the only thing they have to shut down is the federal agencies that I named, like FEMA and the Coast Guard and TSA. So they're shutting down thousands of workers for nothing but a talking point.
And TSA, that's a critical part of our security at this point, obviously. There'll come a time if it continues and drags out, not enough TSA agents to go around to man the airports. Some smaller airports might be closed. Some flights will have to be canceled. They can't handle all of the folks coming through. Democrats know this is a possibility, and they're using it as a saber over the head of Trump. He's not going to budge for that. The DHS funding officially lapsed last weekend. Border Patrol efforts, they continue. And negotiators, according to The Hill, negotiators, that would be the left, are showing few signs of backing down from their demands. There's nothing, according to the Hill, that says we have anything that's going to be resolved anytime soon. There's nearly a dozen demands for reforms to immigration enforcement. The Democrats headlined the other day. We want to tighten warrant requirements. We want to unmask agents engaging in field operations. We want to end roving patrols. Chuck Schumer said, any counteroffer from the Democrats or from the Republicans is not serious. You see how far apart? You're trying to get closer. They move farther away. But Mark Wayne Mullen says if they're waiting for the president's State of the Union, that is 1 week from tonight. 1 week from tonight, the president will give his State of the Union at this point. I'd mentioned earlier, Charlie Kirk once described the difference between working with and even talking with a Democrat and a far-left loony.
There's a difference between liberals and leftists, okay? It's a very big difference. A liberal is someone I will disagree with, and we'll have a wonderful time. We'll go out to dinner, and we'll consider each other friends. A liberal is someone that might believe in gay marriage. They might believe in more accessible abortion. They might believe in higher taxes. A liberal will agree to disagree. A liberal will have the conversation and they'll say, we might not agree on this, but I still treat you with respect and I really like you as a person. A leftist will try to shut you up before you even open your mouth. A leftist does not believe in capitalism whatsoever. A leftist is rooted in intolerance. And you see this happen all over the place in America, where college campuses get shouted down. You heard my message tonight. Do you think I'm a hateful speaker? Do you think that, you know, I bring vitriol? I get labeled by groups on the left in America that I should not be allowed to speak on U.S. campuses. That I'm somehow spreading vitriol and hatred, and I'm spreading dangerous ideas. So there's a difference between a liberal and a leftist.
And of course, he was shut down with a bullet while addressing students on a campus. Charlie Kirk. Coming up, Dr. Fake, he is gone from the government, living on a lot of retirement money, and who knows how much more money made on books and money collected from pharmaceutical groups. But his legacy continues to harm America. And our story behind the story, trying to assassinate Castro, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. The best thing I ever did for my neck and back pain was go to Esquire Sports Medicine. Dr. Draghi and his staff can take care of those pains. If they can't, they'll refer you to a specialist. And when you're hurting, you don't want to wait. So often with Dr. Draghi and Esquire Sports Medicine, you're treated within 24 hours. For any joint or muscle pain, contact my doctor, Dr. Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine, on Big Bend, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, and you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
39 items per month plus MedCost. Check GoodRx.
What is a pandemic, and how do we know when we're in the midst of one?
Well, a pandemic is when you have an infectious disease that is being consistently and sustained transmission from person to person through a wide range of regions, countries, and areas of the globe. So, for example, in China, it's an epidemic because it's concentrated in China. But once you start to get other countries in which you have sustained transmissibility, then you really have the makings of a pandemic. Pan meaning wide, it's widely distributed.
Those are the words of Dr. Fauci some time ago dealing with what is a pandemic. Interesting that he took point, and it's a fact he can't deny. This is one fact he cannot deny, saying, well, it started in one area, like in China, Wuhan, China, where it was an epidemic, widespread just in one area. And the Chinese government knew it. They shut down all transportation to or from Wuhan. And they started locking people into their homes. I don't mean just telling them stay inside. They were welding their doors shut, putting bars on their houses so they could not get out, except in specified times. And one person at a time. They knew how bad that was. And yet the World Health Organization, along with Dr. Fauci and all the other so-called smart people, were saying, this isn't a big deal. Do you remember in the beginning when the story first surfaced, Dr. Fauci's attitude was, it should not affect us at all. It will not affect us. And then later, it might be a good idea to wear a mask. Not a big deal. And then later, well, if one mask would work, don't you think two would be better? The story just kept changing. In the meantime, he's constantly practicing to us science. Stay away from all those drugs that might be nothing more than horse medicine. When people were looking for answers. And then you got Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, rounding up all those elderly in nursing homes if they've been sent to hospitals for care for COVID, telling them to send them back to their nursing homes. Basically, go back to the death camp. where many of them ended up dying. And every day you remember, I know you remember every day, the leftist media had a meter running, tick, 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 another one, dun, 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 dun. And you might start watching an hour, and it shows 33,502 dead from COVID in our nation, or the world, depending on what stat they were putting up. Before the hour is over, that number would multiply. And that's the other thing. We really don't know for fact how many of them died of COVID, how many died with COVID. You're in a car wreck. You're obviously in a car wreck. They take you in and they check in, finds out you have COVID. COVID didn't kill you. The steering wheel through your head is what killed you. This is part of a PBS special the other day, and let's allow Dr. Fake a little more time to explain why we suddenly had a pandemic.
Do we have that on our hands now?
I think, Michael, that we are clearly at the brink of that. And let me explain briefly why. Because our fate is going to be determined by the ability of countries outside of China that have travel-related cases. And now they're starting to develop sustained transmission from person to person to person. So that right now, it's not just travel-related cases. So when you get countries like Japan and South Korea that have these cases that are person to person, person to person, without any real ability to point to where it came from, that's the makings of a pandemic. And if you have multiple countries like that, then the horse is out of the barn, and it's going to be very difficult to prevent more cases from coming here to our own country.
Well, and in the beginning, his attitude, it's not going to be a big deal. And then, of course, we start shutting down. Trump shut down any flights from China. And immediately he's called xenophobic. You don't like yellow people. Trying to stop the spread of a disease coming into our town, our nation. But of course, if they could get out of China and get to Europe somewhere and fly in from there, they still got to the U.S., many to the West Coast. Many from some of the Italian situations, the communities that got infected, going right into New York, which escalated that number. The number I have here in front of me, and I'm telling you, listen to me with question marks. Is that accurate, Larry? I don't know, but I'll read you the number. They claim 103 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 during the height of the pandemic in our nation. 103 million. 1.2 million confirmed deaths, stating the most of any country. The 17th highest per capita worldwide. And Dr. Fauci and everybody, what were they trying to do? Oh, they came up with an idea. Let's have masks, and then we'll work on a virus, and you get the virus, you get the vaccine, it will stop you from getting it. It turned out it was not going to, and the chemical companies were protected because it's presented as an experimental drug. So if it didn't work or caused harm, you could not sue and go after them. And then they came up with this stupid idea, why don't we make everybody stand at least 6 feet away in a supermarket? And why don't we put shield? And there was never any number to designate that. And later Fauci admitted that was not science. It wasn't even pseudoscience. You get more science playing the roulette wheel, believe me. PBS special with Fauci got into another particular question.
What was your relationship behind the scenes with President Trump like?
Well, you know, I described it in some detail in the book. It was complicated because when we first met, we had a real good rapport with us. You know, I describe it, maybe it was sort of, you know, a guy raised in Queens and a guy raised in Brooklyn. We had that similar New York swagger, whatever you wanted to call it, that we related to each other. And in the beginning, he actually listened to what we were saying and went along with it. But when it became clear that the virus was not going to disappear and it was not going to peak in February and go away in March and April the way the flu does, and as we got into the season of preparing for the election, then we started to go separately, because that's when I had to contradict him, which was painful for me to do that. You know, the people in the White House staff thought I was doing that because I wanted to get out. Not at all. It was not comfortable for me to do that. But that's when it went from, hey, we're buddy buddies, to, you know, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, he's wrong most of the time, and those kinds of things. So it started off of actually quite a good relationship.
But then it went south. A question on that information.
Reflecting on the pandemic, the partisan policy responses, the misinformation, the disinformation, it raises the real question of whether Americans will listen to federal public health officials and the guidance that they provide the next time a major epidemic rolls around. How do you see it?
I'm very concerned. I mean, deeply concerned about what misinformation and disinformation has done, because right now we have what I've called and have written about as the normalization of untruths.
There we go. We don't know what's true, what's not, and we have lost all belief in our health system, our health, quote, experts. And do you remember Senator Rand Paul going after Fauci?
You're telling everybody to wear a mask, whether they've had an infection or a vaccine. What I'm saying is they have immunity, and everybody agrees they have immunity. What studies do you have that people that have had the vaccine or have had the infection are spreading the infection? If we're not spreading the infection, isn't it just theater?
No, it's not.
The vaccine and you're wearing two masks. Isn't that theater?
No, that's not. Here we go again with the theater. Let's get down to the facts.
What?
Okay, the studies that you quote from Crotty and Sette look at in vitro examination of memory immunity, which in their paper they specifically say this does not necessarily pertain to the actual protection. It's in vitro.
And what study can you point to that shows significant reinfection? There are no studies that show significant reinfection.
Let me finish the response to your question, if you please. The other thing is that when you talk about reinfection and you don't keep in the concept of variants, that's an entirely different ball game. That's a good reason for a mask.
Yeah. And of course, everything I've told you to do is not going to do anything anyway. You lied to us, Fauci. And now the rest of the nation forever and the world will question health experts going forward. Coming up, our story behind the story. 600 plus attempts to kill Castro.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've told you how Tom Shaw Realtors can help you buy, sell homes, farms, acreage. Listen to what Tom Shaw Realtors did in 2025. More than 100 properties sold, $52 million in sales. ShawRealtors.com. 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing. You don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
This was Havana in 1959. The dictator Fulgencio Batista had fled. And into the Capitol rolls a man who will change Cuba forever. Bearded and defiant, he rides at the front of a convoy of rebels. Tens of thousands line the streets to welcome him, cheering, waving flags, crying with joy. For them, this is the dawn of freedom, the fall of tyranny, the promise of a new Cuba. But revolutions rarely end where they begin, and this victory parade was only the start. The man hailed as a liberator would soon rule as a dictator, and the promise of freedom would give way to decades of control. We are talking about Fidel Castro, the revolutionary who toppled a dictator and became one himself. The name still echoes across history. For nearly 50 years, Castro ruled Cuba with a firm grip. To some, he was a hero who stood up to America. To others, he was a tyrant who crushed freedom.
That is a segment of a documentary from First Post Documentary. Fidel Castro, born 1926, did become the leader of Cuba in 1959, all the way up to 2008. President of Cuba from 76 to 2008. Now, he was born the son of a wealthy Spanish farmer. He had everything at his hand, kind of like a young George Soros. His father was rich. They had no concerns other than how many they needed to work the fields when they needed them. But then, like some rich kids that are not really educated, they think they are, he ends up becoming a radical, anti-capitalism, more Marxist, communist, in fact. The man he replaced, Batista, had seized power in a military coup in 1952. He canceled the planned presidential elections. In fact, he described his new system as disciplined democracy. What a phrase. Disciplined democracy. You can have freedom. You can have democracy as long as you follow the order I give you. That's the way Batista was ruling. So Castro was hoping to run for office, but got deprived of it, because Batista was a one-man dictatorship. Eventually, Batista moved to the right. He reunited and solidified ties with the wealthy, people like Castro's father, and the U.S. He severed diplomatic relations with the Soviet Union. Trying to oppose Batista, Castro kept thinking of ways, how can I oust the regime? He formed a group called the Movement, which again began arming and training anti-Batista recruits. He took about 200 revolutionaries for one mission, and he wanted bloodshed. But they ran into trouble because some of the cars they set out from Santiago to get to Cuba to go after Batista never made it. Several of his men killed in advance. He failed, but he was not done. And eventually he got control again and had the people behind him, and he became the new dictator. And then the summer of 59, shortly after he became the leader of Cuba, he began nationalizing plantation lands and companies owned by Americans and other foreign landlords. It was clear he was going to take control of everything. And in a May Day speech in 1960, Castro announced all future elections would be canceled. And he proclaimed that I have a direct democracy where Cubans could assemble at demonstrations to express their will. So we don't really need elections. You can go on the street, say what you want. We won't need any elections. Which, by the way, he later also admitted, in addition to nationalizing businesses, sugar production, oil refinement, and everything else, he started cracking down on dissidents, and that included homosexuals. He later admitted that he had numerous young men killed if they were even suspected of being homosexual. Now, how does that sound to you leftists who seem to love Castro and what he stood for? And if you're gay, you recognize, just like when dealing with Iran, you're not going to have a chance of living whatsoever. In 61, Castro ordered Havana's U.S. Embassy to reduce its staff, claiming many were spies. We responded by ending diplomatic relations, and we increased CIA funding to help those against Castro. Eisenhower and Kennedy supported a CIA plan to add to a dissident militia that resulted in the Bay of Pigs invasion, April 61. April the 15th, the CIA supplied B-26 bombers to hit three Cuban military airfields. Castro said this is all false flag information. But just in case, he arrested anywhere from 20,000 to 100,000. And the executions began. Then, of course, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis as he moved closer to Khrushchev. And Khrushchev started installing nuclear missiles in Cuba. The Kennedy blockade put in place, put an end to that. But that's how close we came. I remember in school then that my coach in football was saying he might not be there next week. I was old enough to understand, but I was not up to speed on what was happening. But he was in the National Guard, and he expected to be yanked into duty over the weekend and sent to deal with Cuba and the missile crisis, maybe even into Russia. Castro had numerous health ailments. And at one point, commenting on how he might recover or not, U.S. President George W. Bush said, "One day the good Lord will take Fidel Castro away." Castro being an atheist, while many of his people were Catholic, said, "Now I understand why I survived Bush's plans and the plans of other presidents who ordered my assassination. The good Lord protected me." There are an estimated, and no one can document it, no fewer than 634 attempts to kill Castro. That's according to a former Castro Secret Service chief. Is it correct or not? We don't know. But we know some of the things they tried. And therein lies the rest of the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
There's always been this rumor that the U.S. government, specifically the CIA, had contracted two Italian-American gangsters to assassinate Fidel Castro. So tell me about Operation Mongoose, and how did this story come together?
Well, one of the ways they tried to kill was to enlist a woman named Marita Lorenz. She winds up in a bedroom with Fidel Castro. She opens up a jar of capsules with poison in them. She comes out of the bathroom, and there's Fidel on the bed.
He's going to kill her.
And he says, you were going to kill me, weren't you?
The U.S. government doesn't like Fidel taking over because he's now working as a satellite for the Soviets.
Just before JFK was killed, Castro essentially said, I know you're trying to kill me, and two can play this game. Uncle Sam wanted to get rid of Castro, but so did the mafia.
So did the mafia. And of course, then we also have ties to JFK. A lot of this came out in a special Senate subcommittee headed at that time by Democrat Senator Frank Church in 1975. So as I list some of the death attempts against Castro, a lot of it came from some of that testimony. Be it factual or not, I don't know, but it was included. One was perhaps the most famous, came in 1960. When the CIA poisoned a box of his favorite cigars. They spiked the cigars with a toxin strong enough to kill anyone who put them in their lips. They were identified to an unidentified person, but it's unclear what happened to them. Needless to say, they were never even chewed by El Comandante. Then you have the reluctant Cuban. Months earlier, at the end of Dwight Eisenhower's term, the CIA used a series of middlemen to enlist two gangsters to help with removing Castro, willing to pay $150,000, according to the Church Committee report. That'd be about $1.2 million or more in today's world. Sam Giancana, boss of the Chicago mob, was involved. CIA gave them six pills of high-lethal content. But the Cuban that they gave the money to and the pills never carried it out. The CIA tried a more elaborate plan in 1963. Cuba, or rather Castro, loved scuba diving. They planned to hide explosives in a large seashell, thinking it would attract him, and as he moved it, it would blow up. But they later decided, according to the Church Committee, this was impractical. The same year, they decided to contaminate one of his diving suits with a fungus, as well as an infected breathing apparatus. That plan was abandoned after Castro had a different suit. Richard Helms, who later became CIA director, said that plan was cockeyed and said the suit never left the lab. Many of them might appear to be something out of a James Bond film. therein brings the deadly lover you were hearing about a moment ago. Marita Lorenz. She told Vanity Fair in 1993, as she was Castro's lover in late 1959, she was given two botulism toxin pills to put into Castro's drink. Just one would kill him in 30 seconds. She later said, I looked at the outline of Havana and I just couldn't do it. And even if she wanted to, apparently she had botched it. She put the pills in a cold cream jar, which made them gunky, unusable. Castro realized what was going on, and according to her, pulled out his .45, handed it to me, and said, you can't kill me. Nobody can. She said he kind of smiled, chewed on his cigar. He was so sure of me, he grabbed me. We made love. Implausible, possibly. Another CIA story right out of James Bond was a hypodermic needle concealed within a pen that the victim would never realize he was poisoned until too later. All of these attempts on Castro's life included American intel services to undermine his image by a psychedelic speech of some type. As I said, there were 600 attempts, according to his Secret Service card. In the end, Castro died of illness. And when he passed away, the people of Havana and Cuba, for the most part, rejoiced. And there are many in Cuba still would love to be out of Cuba. But 25th of November, 2016, he died mostly of his health ailments, despite multiple attempts to assassinate him. You don't want to miss our story behind the story tomorrow night, right here this hour. We still have a second hour to come. George Noory of Coast to Coast will join us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Bill. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40, EsquireSportsMedicine.com. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.